Well, you've had a lot of reporting here this morning, so I just really want to dive into the message because I really came here to preach. And I really appreciate you all a lot. I feel like I'm in a very familiar, comfortable setting. See, Pastor Ben is still here. You know, I'm Peter and Marianne. Peter and I go back, way back. I won't tell you the whole story, but we crossed paths again in Banff at the Billy Graham School of Evangelism. And how's that? Lake Louise. That's right. That's where it was. And I was just so thrilled when I knew that he was coming to Glen Cross because I had gotten to know his heart and his pastor's heart. And so it's really good to be here. Thanks for the invitation, Peter, to come here. I know you've asked a while, and my halftime schedule didn't always allow it, whatever that means. But I want to get right into the text and read with you. Out of Colossians in chapter 3, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, or chapter 4 rather, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. And he says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, I could do a whole series of messages on this passage. Actually, I have been doing a series on that. But the main verse I want to focus on today is the verse 3. And I pray for us. And this is Paul saying a prayer to the church. He says, pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. I love the way he says it, the mystery of Christ. He says, I don't have it all, but I love to proclaim it. And the more we proclaim the word, the more we realize how great and an awesome God he is. And the mystery of God becomes something that we pursue to find something like a hunt for a treasure hunt. We look for more. But do you really believe that God can open doors? I had a pastor in my office a few weeks ago, just before we went to Mexico. And he was from Pakistan. And he had moved to Canada because he was a refugee. His life was in danger. And I asked him about his life. He'd be about in his mid-40s, 50 years old. Has three teenage children and a wife they brought along. Lived right near the Moral Gospel Church where our conference office is. And he came to my office because he wanted to get to know a pastor. And he wanted to pastor a church. And I said, well, how are you making a living while we don't have a job? I said, what kind of skills do you have? He said, I became a Christian when I was 18. And I've been preaching the gospel ever since. I've been beaten up. I've been left for dead. I've been served many years in prison. He said, and now we were refugees and we were able to come out. He said, the only thing I know is to preach the gospel. And I want to start a church. He says, there's other people of my language that are living in this area. I need to now go see him. He gave me his phone number and his address. He lives near our place to visit him. But he felt a call from God to because of open doors that he went through many times that cost him dearly. But do we really believe that God can open doors? I often hear people say, we're praying for missionaries, and that's a great thing. But let me ask you this. How often do you pray, God, open a door for me to share the gospel? Not necessarily in Bolivia or in Belize, but here in this area around Glen Cross, or wherever God has you in the workplace or in school or in university or wherever it is. There's many ways in which we can share the gospel. Anita and I, in this stage in our life, moved back to Winnipeg in end of January, and are serving again, as Lauren said, as the conference pastor. But one of the things that has changed in our life is aging parents, and some of you know what that's like. Anita's mother is in the hospital right now. She's been there for a few weeks, but we spent many weekends. We come out here to stay with them and make it possible for us to sometimes visit the churches in southern Manitoba. But the other day, and we do this often, in fact, I tried it today, I go through McDonald's on the way out, pick up a coffee, because it's kind of nice to drive all the way to Winnipeg and have a good McDonald's coffee. Well, I pulled up into the drive-thru, and I waited at this little thing that you're supposed to look at, and it doesn't say anything, and I wanted just a coffee. And I waited and waited, and there was no voice, just this crazy sign to look at. And finally, I got tired of that, and I figured I'll go to the next window that where you pay. And I went to the window, and I smiled, and I looked, and they were in there, and they waved, and nobody opened the window. All I wanted was a coffee. Well, I finally got tired of sitting there and smiling, so I went to the next window where they serve you the coffee, and then I honked my horn, and they smiled. But they didn't open the window. Well, I'm frustrated, but I realized, look, this is just you got to keep your cool in these kind of places. So I pulled around and went into the restaurant, and I ordered 2 senior coffees. And I said, by the way, I said, your drive-thru isn't working? It isn't, he said. I said, no, I was sitting there a long time. He said, I go check. The batteries are dead in the camera. I am so sorry. Well, it worked this morning better than that. But the point that I'm making is, friends, there are people outside, thirsty people that are waiting. That are waiting for someone to share the gospel with them. And I wonder how often we just stand there and smile and wave and say, we're nice people. Come to our church. Where are the doors that open for you to share the gospel to people who are dying of thirst for something that brings them hope in a broken world? Nobody is opening doors for them. And prayer, yes, is like a camera into God's will. But lack of prayer is like a camera without batteries. I had a young man in the church I pastored in Altona who came to the church one morning. I known his family, and I knew him growing up. He was in a Christian family, but he left the church and got into the wrong scene. And he got into a fight in a bar, and he ended up in a knife fight, and somebody got hurt, and he went to court and all those kind of things. But lo and behold, during the court time, he came to church one morning. And I saw him there, and then after church, I said, why don't you come to my office sometime? Maybe we need to talk. I had known him as a kid. Well, he came to my office that week, and I shared the gospel with him. And I said, like, what are you going through with your life? And he was being charged for assault, and he needed to go to court, and he needed prayer and those things. So he came to church. And then I asked him, I said, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? He said, no, I haven't. And I went through the steps with him. And he prayed a beautiful prayer. And then when he was done, he was going to my office. He said, you grew up in a Christian home and you grew up in a Christian community. How come you've never made a decision for Christ? And he said to me, because nobody ever asked. Nobody ever asked. How many people are waiting? Waiting. Nobody. They smile and they wave, but they don't ask. Pray, and you will see that there are many ways in which God is opening doors for us today. God might give you an insight into some kind of a deed that you can do in the name of Jesus. Still, others may request a gentle help and for their need for salvation, but none of them will respond if we do not see them as people in need of Christ and make an effort to witness to them. Paul says in Romans 10, I think it says, how will they hear if nobody has told them, nobody has preached? The goal of prayer is to open doors. That's the lesson, a very simple lesson I have for you this morning. And Paul prayed for an open door to preach the gospel. Now let me ask you, think of someone or some situation that you know there's a door that needs to be knocked on. Maybe a neighbor, a friend, a family, a schoolmate, or somebody at your workplace. Somebody that needs to hear the gospel. Think of it as a door that needs to be opened. Okay, now let me push you on this a bit. Paul says, pray that God may open a door. I want us to pray right now to bow. Kids, everybody, close your eyes and bow and pray that God, for that open door, that one person or that one situation, God will bring something to your mind if He hasn't already, so that you can be a part of answering that prayer. Let's pray. I'll end in prayer as you pray quietly. Close your eyes, everybody, kids and all, pray for an open door that God, you might be able to share the gospel. God in heaven, we thank you that you give us this avenue of prayer. But today we're praying, God, show me a way. Show me a door. Show me one that I can knock on so that others may be greeted with what they need to their thirsty soul. So they don't go away there just with a smile and a handshake, but rather with something of Jesus. God, give us now the courage as we knock on this door to do our part, Father, as Paul did in this mess, in this text. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that's your homework. Now, I'm not finished my sermon, but that's still your homework. And you need to work on that this week. And you can share that. I mean, you have Bible studies and care groups and all those things and Sunday mornings, different places where you can share what God is doing as you're praying for people. They may not all answer right away. But the goal of prayer for Open Doors is to see people saved. And we know that we are saved by faith. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." So clearly, prayer in itself does not save people. As Christians, we pray because we know that God is in control. And when we pray, we are acknowledging this conviction that God answers prayer. We believe it in our heart. Paul, or Jesus said in Matthew 21, he said, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt," and then he gives one condition, "if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." So there's the promise, but there's the condition of believing. It is not, I'm not against teaching about answering prayers. That God answers prayer, but it is faith that God answers and not the prayer itself. Let me say it another way. Prayer is not prayer unless it is prayed in faith. You all remember having to learn to pray when you were kids, or I was, at mealtime, unser Vater, or rather, segne Vater diese Speise, unsere Kraft und dir zu preise. And I used to rattle that off so fast, you know, I had no idea it was only one word. Or I learned to pray, unser Vater. And they're good prayers. Don't get me wrong. You teach your children how to pray. But prayer without faith isn't really prayer at all. So we teach them to believe what we pray, trusting the Lord from that point on. My grandson, Kalen, the 7-year-old, just a couple weeks ago, he was praying. He really wanted a dog. And I guess his mom and dad had kind of let in that maybe there would be a dog, maybe it would work if it would be one that wouldn't shed hair and all those things. And so he prayed and he went on Kijiji. And he said, "I found a dog, exactly the one." And then he prayed that evening. He said, "Mom, I'm going to pray." And he prayed, he said, "Lord, give me a dog, not just any dog, that dog." And then he added, he said, "And Lord, if you can, do it a little quicker than usual." He's a boy of faith. Actually, there's a whole story behind that, and Wendy would tell you that. That dog became available. They didn't think it was in their price range, and these people wanted to have somebody that cared for a dog, and he got it for a bargain. And God answers prayer, even the child. But it's in faith that we pray. So when we pray for Open Doors, we need to trust Him that He will do it. And when we need to be willing, then we need to be willing to walk through them. See, that's sometimes the scary part. I can get you all to say, "Yeah, I know somebody that needs the gospel," but yeah, not me. In our text, Paul is asking the church to pray for him to open doors for evangelism. So that's something you can pray for in your prayer groups or in your home. Pray that God will give us a passion to have open doors. And God will open the doors. He does. That's why he keeps the church here. That's why he hasn't returned yet. We see that throughout the New Testament, especially in Acts, that God is the keeper of the keys of all doors. See, the church was bursting open into the world with a new gospel message, the message of the cross. And he can, and he often does also as we go, that he closes doors. Don't be surprised. In Acts chapter 16, he says, "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia." They weren't able to, he says. "And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them." So just because a door doesn't open immediately, it doesn't mean that God doesn't ask us to knock. Everyone who obeys will knock on some closed doors. It always happens. The first half of my adult life, I was in the printing business with Lawrence. And in later years, I was in marketing and sales. And at times, I needed to travel across Canada and the U.S. and actually find the publishers, the big publishers that there were, and say, "Look, in Altona, we can do these things." And they said, "Where's Altona?" They had no idea. Sometimes I had to knock three or four times in different times until they said, "These are legitimate people." And the doors began to open because there were persistence. We have a product, if I can say it in very, very earthly terms, that other people need. And they're lining up at these little windows and waiting for you to answer. Paul thought he had an open door in Galatia. But the verse that follows tells us that God had opened another door. And that's what usually happens when we're faithful. This was in his first missionary journey in Acts. He says in verse 8 and 9, he says, "So they passed by Mysia and they went to Troas." And what happens when a door closes? He says in verse 9, "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" If you will spend time in prayer, you may not think a door is open for you. He will show you. He will direct you to a door. And Paul just perseveres. It is while he moves in faith to what he thought was an open door that God redirected his path. And sometimes, yes, they close. But if we are serious about sharing the gospel, God will always open another door. Anita and I were in Cuba last year visiting about 24 churches in different parts of Cuba. Most of them were out in the mountains in different places. And the church is blossoming in Cuba, by the way. And we had a leader that came to visit us in Saskatchewan now just before we left. And he told us a story of what was happening out of Cuba. Cuba is, of course, a communist country. And the church has been confined in many ways. But they have great education. And many of the people getting a good education are coming to Christ through these many thousands of churches. This pastor was the administrator over 1,300 churches in eastern Cuba. And he said that the Brazilian government had said to the Cuban government, said, "Can you send us doctors, medical doctors? They have great training. Some of the best doctors in the world come from Cuba." And so the president of Brazil said, "Our doctors, they all want to go to Sao Paulo and the big cities. Nobody wants to go in the jungles and the back corners. Can you send us 500 doctors?" And immediately they sent 500 doctors. That's one of the big export things in Cuba, how the economy grows in that country. And about less than a year later, they asked again, and Raul, the president of Cuba, said, "We'll send you another 1,000 or another 1,300 doctors." And they sent them out, and they went into the backwoods of all over in the jungles of Brazil where nobody goes to be doctors. What they didn't know was that many, many of these doctors had become Christians. And now churches were blossoming all over Brazil because of Cuba's doctors. See, God opens doors that we cannot even imagine. If we are faithful in proclaiming the gospel, and preparing ourselves and praying for open doors, God will do that. Paul, later on, he writes to the Corinthians, and he reports about that open door. And he says in 2 Corinthians 2, he says, "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me," he said, "I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere." See, God just opened the door again. Notice that like Paul, we are moving even if a door closes. How do we know when a door is open? It's really not that difficult. You turn on the knob and you find out. That's all God asks. Knock, turn on the knob, find out if it's open. It's not that difficult to understand. And so why was Paul so persistent on seeking open doors? Because he knew his calling. He says in verse 3, "And pray for us," our text, "pray for us too, that God may open door for our message." He had a message and he had a calling. And we all do. Why? "So that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." Here he was in a prison, writing about this. He knew the dangers of knocking on doors. If you hear the stories, my brother Bill is the missionary director now in Bolivia, Bill Kaler, and the doors, the reason that they're moving their schools that you heard about from Lawrence into Green Farm because of the heavy, heavy persecution on the colony. It's almost impossible for some of these people to make a living because they're ostracized and economically, socially, and in every way. And so you need to be praying because God is opening another door as they're moving on to this new land. Now, if you've said yes, and I don't presume that everybody here in this auditorium has said yes to Jesus. Said, yes, I want you in my life. Not only I want you in my life, I want you to be my Lord, and not only my Savior, but my Lord, and I will work for you. But if you have said that, then God is preparing you, or he has prepared you to knock on doors. For some, it may be going to Bible school and getting some training so that you can be a missionary or a pastor or just a really good leader in your church. For some, it may mean joining a Bible study. I don't know how many Bible studies you have, but the church we pastored in Hague, I loved to preach in the church. It was a small church. We had maybe, and when we left, it was maybe 100 to 150 people, but it had grown a lot. But the heart of that church was Bible studies. It wasn't the Sunday morning meeting. It was the Bible studies that gave the growth. Because, well, yeah, people come to hear this old guy preach once in a while, but they want to know real people and be able to touch them. And that's where the life of the church is. But Pastor Peter needs to be preaching the gospel here. But that's an invitation for you to, those open doors that come your way, to also bring them into the body of Christ, where there's a whole new avenue of service and discipleship that happens. So you need both. For some, it may mean letting a hurtful past, letting go of a hurtful past. Oh, how many stories we heard in Mexico and Belize on the colonies. By God's grace, some of them, Irma, you saw her? She is a glowing light. I can't believe in the circumstance she grew up in that she could be such a dynamic Christian. She does the children's ministry in that church, and she is just so on fire. And I'm always amazed at what God is doing in the colonies and the way that these people are coming. A young man friended me from the colony and shipyard, an old colony young boy. He friended me on Facebook, so you can tell he was working on he was finding out how to connect with other people. These are open doors that are happening. Henry Redicup, who is the pastor in shipyard, is moving into radio ministry. And they want to start up a radio now in Belize and hopefully in the new year to reach into these colonies because there's such a drought and in many ways and these people are hungry and they're asking for things. Be praying for open doors. And who knows, maybe God wants to send you into one of those doors. But there are so many opportunities. But if a door closes, don't stand there in shock and miss the open door that is right beside it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work is open to me and there are many who oppose me. So he's saying two things here. One is that there's a great open door. So don't be so surprised that as Paul and the apostles and Jesus, that there will people that will oppose you. In our day today, in our culture in Canada, Christianity is probably persecuted more than any other religion. Don't be surprised if you go to university and you're finding out that your profs and your people are going to challenge you. Because prayer is so important when we want to go through open doors. That's why we need to be in prayer. So we stay connected with what our mission is. It gives opportunities, but also it opens hearts. Who all prayed for you before you gave your heart to Jesus? Most of us, it didn't happen in isolation. God may not send you to preach out in Bolivia or elsewhere, but your door may be only one person or a few that are close by. We read in Acts in chapter 8 that Philip was called away for one man in the desert. And in Acts chapter 10, Peter, he had to make a long journey to go find Cornelius, one family. That was his mission. And when Paul arrived in Philippi, his first audience was not a church. It was a Naphrine at the river, a ladies' group meeting at the river. And there Lydia came to Christ, and the church in Philippi grew. You don't know what God wants to do through that one open door that he has for you today. And when we pray for open doors expectantly. And God sometimes can do this a little quicker than usual. You know, I think sometimes we need a real boost in our churches. And I think God is ready to act if we'll be faithful to our part. Ask God to give you a warm and a compassionate heart. See, when Jesus came to Jerusalem the week before his crucifixion, he wept. He wept because of their unbelief. They were saying hallelujah and praising God, but he wept because of their unbelief. Unbelief in the church of North America is killing the church, not just outside. Because when we pray, we need to believe. And in faith, we need to act so that he can do what he wants us to do as a church today. Paul was so burdened for his own people, he cries out in Romans 9, 3, says, "For I wish I could myself be cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of the people, those of my own race." He had such a deep burden for them. Do you have a burden? When is the last time you have wept for a lost brother or sister? A burden. If nothing else, pray that God will give you a burden for someone. That's a start. And then ask him, "Where will you open that door for me? I'm afraid." Don't be afraid to say, "God, I'm afraid." He understands that. When we devote ourselves to prayer, and when we pray in faith, he will also reward. Remember the church in Revelation. To what God calls the church at Philadelphia. He says in Revelation 3, 7 and 8, he says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David." He holds a key to open. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. And then in verse 8, he describes what David's heart is. That heart that opens doors. Take a note and see if this describes you, these three things. He says, "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." These are the people to whom God entrusts the key of the message of Christ. Those who acknowledge, "I know that I have little strength." Don't do it on your own. It's futile. Don't do it on your own. I can so much identify with that. It would be my prayer for all of us that if it could be said of your church here in Glen Cross, as it was said of the church in Philadelphia, "You have kept my word." Your leaders, your council, your pastors, your youth leaders, that's your charge. To stay in the word. I wish you could have been at the convention in Aylmer this summer. And what we heard there was, stick to the word. Be students of the word. Then God begins to soften our heart. And he says, "And you have not denied my name." In other words, you're willing to go out into that world and knock on doors because of Christ in your life. You will not deny him by your action. You will not just sit there and wave and smile at people that are thirsty and dying. See, we do not have power. Even our well-intended prayers are no more than chatter without our faith in Jesus Christ and in his power. You see, God does not grant us salvation just for ourselves. Because the same heart that led you to seek out Jesus is also the heart that will lead you to seek salvation for other people. That same heart that God redeemed and washed clean is now saying to you, that heart is there to seek others, to bring that hope to them. Stick to the word. Trust in the name of Jesus. That is the only way that you will even recognize doors and be able to have the power to walk into enemy territory to proclaim the good news to a dying and a thirsty world. You will be surprised, though, at how many people are receptive in our day. There is a lot of hopelessness. And people are looking for something that may not seem like an open door at the moment, but you knock again, and all of a sudden you realize this person is really, really searching. You see, God does not grant us salvation just for ourselves. He grants it for us to seek others. There is no greater joy than being in the presence of someone who is accepting Jesus Christ into their heart. So pray for this daily. Pray for open doors. Pray for the courage to share the gospel. Be ready to do this one-on-one Or yes, also in your local church, do it here. In your region, wherever you are, our conference is in need of people. I'm going to Alberta this week, and taking Lynn Dick with me. I'm going to Dutchess and to Vauxhall. The Vauxhall Church is blossoming, around 200 people every Sunday morning. But there are so many more places. I get calls from people saying, can you start a church in our area? We have no pastors. We need a pastor for Dutchess. There are people that are dying without Christ. Pray for me. Pray for us as a conference, that we will go there where the doors are opening. When God calls like he did Paul, he says, can you come this way? Had an email this week from a place the church has shut down. Can you come? Can you send us a pastor among our Plautdietsche people? And there are many, many other places as well. Pray for opportunities and pray for open doors. And then don't be afraid to try every door to see what answer lies behind it. The mystery of Christ will be revealed to you. And then you cannot help but share it with others. Let me pray as I turn it all back over to the church here. Thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity we have today to come under your word. We want to be known as people who have kept the word, who have not denied your name. And so, Father, I pray this week as we think of the person or the situation we have prayed for this morning, that we will have the courage to knock on that door, that we will not be discouraged when it doesn't open or it gets slammed on us or it didn't respond in a beautiful smile. But, Father, help us not to be just standing behind glass doors and waving at people. Thank you, Jesus, for this church here at Glen Cross. And I thank you for their pastor, Peter and Marion. And I thank you for the leaders here and the workers here. Would you bless them in a special way, Father, so they can equip these people, our people here in Glen Cross. Inspire them, Father, so that they might be willing to share the gospel where a pastor can't. Thank you, God, for the privilege Anita and I have of being able to see the lives of many people in different countries and different churches here in Canada and other places. And I thank you, God, that we can know that you are alive and well, and that your church, where people are faithful to your word, where they keep your word, and where they have not denied your name, your church is still growing. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing here in Glen Cross. And would you bless them? Bless them well, Father, and give them more than they dare to ask. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.